Dear Aisha, congratulations on being the first ever Black woman to have your own Crave special. You are an inspiration, Martin Luther King Jr. Thank you all so much. Look, I don't want to make a big deal of all this, but I was just told that I'm the first Black person to ever tape a Crave special. Thank you. Keep it going for me. You're welcome. It's all good. It's all good. But again, I don't want to make a big deal out of it. You guys excited tonight? You know, I just found out that every time a Black person accomplishes a first, an angel gets called a nigger. I'm kidding. Angels are white. Anyways, it's fine. Like, I'm very, very honored to be doing this special tonight. But if I'm being honest, no Black person ever wants to be the Black person who does something first, right? Like, even, like, you guys are, like, the first Black audience member sitting up front. And I know you don't want that either. I get it. Like, even if you're, like, the first Black Canadian prime minister to be elected, patent pending, or hasn't happened, or the first Black mermaid to get her hair wet. Right? Or the first Black comedian to joke about her ex's dick being so tiny, his sperm would need a ladder to get her pregnant. Yeah, it's not easy, right? No, just like being the first Black person to do something is scary. It's like accomplishing a Black first is a bit of a double-edged sword, right? In that, you know, I'm very hyper aware of the people who are just supporting me because I'm Black. And very rare, very rare. And thank you. But I'm also aware of the people who want to stab me with a double-edged sword. You're not here, right? You know, I get it. But you know, enough about societal inequality. We're here to have a good time, right? Yeah. So a little bit about me. My full name is actually Aisha Iman Brown, which is Arabic for throw that resume in the garbage. Just toss it right out. I love rocking kind of like a curly bob, otherwise known as a Black Rachel Dolezal. I'm from Scarborough originally. That is a surprising reaction. That's never gotten that reaction. For people who don't know, Scarborough is where Toronto keeps most of its Black friends. Right? And it's also where Drake keeps his accent. Also, some other stuff about me. Oh, yeah. My parents, they're both Jamaican. They are... Oh, no applause? Got it. No, it's too late. It's too late. they're both Jamaican, they're both highly irritable, and they've both been married for 45 years. Yeah. Yes. And that's why they're so irritable. But I also have an older sister named Leanna, and I think that was her, and a younger brother named Jordan, and they both got way more racially ambiguous names than I did. They also have well-paying office jobs, and those facts are related. Another fact about me. I recently reached an age where I don't enjoy getting presents because I'm not good at pretending to like something that I've gotten that I didn't want in the first place, right? Like, you ask my ex-boyfriend, he can tell you, I cannot fake being happy with a tiny, disappointing little package. Can't do it. But I did get a cool present this year from my niece. She's 11, and she made me a present because she's poor. And Kapoor, which is adorable. She made me a doll out of a corn husk. And she wanted to like look like me, so she painted the skin brown and gave it like yarn for hair and big red lips. She gave me like a hate crime for my birthday. It was messed up. You know, it felt accurate because I turned a scary age this year. I turned 39. It's a black 39, so it's like a white 25. It's not that big a deal. If you want to calculate your white age, just take your chronological age and then subtract the number of years you'd get in prison for a crime you didn't commit. Anyways, no, it's real. That's science. It's fine. I actually don't feel that bad about getting older. I actually wrote a song about getting older. You guys want to hear it? Okay. All right. I was calling it Ancient Pussy, but I heard that skewed negative. So I changed it to Vintage. My nanny is old like Sir Ian McKellen, but will magnetize you like an X-Men felon. Salt and pepper beard, cause my snatch be Mad Clooney. Fuck a dollar wine, cause this shit is worth a toonie. My pussy is aged to perfection. Perfection. She's so fly, she will steal your pension. Thank you. Vintage. You're welcome. You're very welcome. We'll pop the cork on that later. But now I've been getting a compliment, actually, in my 30s that I never used to get in my 20s, which is that I look really good for my age. Yeah, not a compliment, right? Because it makes you feel like expired milk that people drink and they're like, oh, that's not as rancid as I thought it was gonna taste, you know? Oh, pretty good, but it came from a cow with saggy tits. Like, I feel like looking good for your age is a compliment with a qualifier, which lets me know that you had to lessen the meaning of the word in order to apply that compliment to me, right? That's hurtful. I'd never say to someone like, oh, you have such a cute baby in this lighting, right? Or you look really thin for a woman named Aretha. Not nice. Oh, you guys know a thin Aretha? Okay. But I don't rely on compliments for my self-esteem, right? I actually got hit on the other day by a 25-year-old. Woo! Yeah, I was very flattered until he said, hey, I don't normally get at bitches your age. Yeah, but I'd still hit it, ma. Sweet. Yeah, I didn't really want to dignify that with a response, but I did want to fuck a 25-year-old, right? Yeah, who's with me? Woo! Yes, I get nostalgic for crying on a bus and faking orgasms. that was my 25-year-old experience. Sometimes I tell that joke and people are like, oh, was it a black guy? Because they're prejudiced. But no, it wasn't. It was a white guy from Oshawa who was a hip-hop enthusiast. Because a lot of people don't know that Oshawa, which is in Ontario, is Ontario's capital for unemployment and wiggers. So, flattering. So nice. I don't know. I feel like 25-year-old wiggers are very into like middle-aged black women because, you know, all that like rapping they do under bridges and, you know, having moms the same age as them. So anyways, but I could never actually sleep with somebody in their 20s, right? Like anybody here in their 20s tonight? Okay, all right, get out. leave. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's just that being around you makes me feel like an evil Disney stepmom, right? It's not your fault. I just want to lock you in a tower and steal your youth and put it around my neck like an amulet, right? Because that's what fillers are. No, I'm just very aware when I'm around people in their 20s about things like crow's feet. Right? Which I didn't notice before, but now I'm like hyper-focusing on crow's feet, probably because they're called fucking crow's feet, right? Like, we don't call our laugh lines hag tears, right? It feels needlessly hurtful, but that's the marketing of words. I feel like women, more than men, suffer from the marketing of words. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but yeast infections and athlete's foot are the same thing. The exact same thing, right? Except one you get from playing ball a little too hard, and the other one, same. Exactly same. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It seems a little unfair, right? Because, like, you know, having athletes, but it's kind of cool, right? Like, you're a jock, so you got a rash, and everyone respects that, right? The other one, yeast infection, you're just fucking baguettes all day. Like, that's not how that works. I think, women, we need to reclaim the yeast infection. Who's with me? Yeah. You know what? I'm renaming it. It's now called swimmer's vagina. Yeah. Or dancer's crotch. Either way. One other thing that makes me feel a little old is social media. I'm not used to it, can't relate to it because I didn't grow up with it, right? Like, I feel about Twitter the way my parents probably felt about, like, Game Boy, right? And the way their parents probably felt about, like, color TV, right? And the way their parents probably felt about freedom, right? Can't relate. It's gonna get worse tonight. Just lean into it. No, I think the real reason I'm not a huge fan of social media, though, is that I agree with democratizing words. I just don't really want to hear everyone's opinions on issues like racism and LGBTQ issues and sexism. Like, I probably don't want to hear about you on any of those things if you start a sentence with, I'm not racist, but, right? Or, back in my day, never good. Or, I'm the premier of Ontario. Not good. Not good. Aw, thank you. yes, Doug Ford, for those who don't know. Doug Ford. It's weird when you think back, like, Doug Ford wasn't always the superstar in his family, right? You guys remember Rob Ford, his brother, the late Toronto mayor and President Trump pilot project? That was crazy. You know what was crazy, though? As much as I never agreed with Rob Ford's opinions, I did like him more because he was charismatic. Like, he was just fun, right? Like, it's like if Darth Vader had, like, a cool little brother and everyone was like, oh, let's listen to him about the Force. He's a good guy. I saw him snort coke off a lightsaber. It was awesome. You know, everyone was just really about him. The one thing I didn't like, though, like, as much as I didn't like Rob Ford's opinions, I felt like people were kind of mean about his death. You know, like, they said he deserved what he got because of his unhealthy lifestyle and he dug his own grave, which is ridiculous. That man didn't have the stamina to dig a grave. Anyways. Yeah, I'm going to sit in it for a bit. Until you come on board. No, I get it. Some people don't love that joke because they're human beings. But we all have sensitivities. Like, I've been told I have a hypersensitivity to racism. I see it in everything, right? Like, I see it in the newspapers I read. I see it in TV shows I watch. I see it in the eyes of a Sudbury audience, you know? It's there. but sometimes I'm wrong, right? Like, when I started comedy in Toronto, I was one of just like a handful of black women doing it at the time. And they used to call me up on stage by the names of other black women, and I would be really offended. I'd be like, wow, they can't tell us apart because, you know, we all have brown skin and curly hair and we're all named Aisha. This is bullshit. This is garbage, right? But I was wrong, because here's a fact. 97% of the stand-ups in Canada are white guys with beards. And I can't tell any of them apart from each other. Not a one. Yeah. Very true. Right? If one came up on stage right now and shot my dad in front of me and then disappeared into a craft beer festival, I wouldn't know who he was. Be like, the officers would be like, could you describe him? Like, he looked like an Ethan. Real Ethan-y. But, you know, not everything's all bad. I kind of got a cool compliment the other day from, like, an older white man, which I live for. But he came up to me after a show, and he was just like, hey, I really liked your set because it didn't make me feel bad about being an old white man. So I shook his hand, and I said, your neck looks like a testicle. Yeah, it's nice, you know. Right, so compromise, right? You know, he got to hear some fun jokes and I got to see him cry dust. Anyways, yeah. I love you. No, but it's funny because I don't think that man was like necessarily a racist just because he saw things through his own prism all the time. you know, like some people are just bad at compliments, right? Like I had an ex-boyfriend who was pretty bad at compliments. Like I remember once I was doing my makeup in the bathroom and he came in and he's like, "You don't need that." I was like, "Oh, wow, thanks." And he's like, "'Cause when women wear makeup, it's a lie." Whoa, yeah. Which is a very bold critique to get from a bald man who used to fuck me in a fedora, right? Right? That's crazy. You know, yeah, I'm not gonna draw on my eyebrows anymore. I'm just gonna buy mini hats and glue them over my eyes, right? That fools everyone. Yeah, but I loved him. There were a lot of red flags for when that relationship was ending. One of them was he used to text me goodnight at 5 p.m. From inside another woman. Well, it didn't happen to you. No, but it's weird. I had this one friend who wasn't really good at lifting up my spirits. Like when I was dumped, it was on Valentine's Day. And so she came over to my house and she gave me like a chocolate covered man. And she's like, "This is for you because you don't have one." Whoa. You know, and I didn't know how to take that, but when her grandmother died, I gave her a chocolate-covered dead grandmother, right? Because that's what she understands, right? She also used to, like, throw cliches at me, right? Like, you've heard that one. It's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all, right? Which is utter garbage, right? Right? Because it's the memories of love that make you hurt. Like, you'd never say to a recently diagnosed diabetic, "Hey, man, remember donuts? You love those. Sorry about your foot." Yeah, it's insensitive. Yeah. Oh, thank you. There we are. No. But to get over men, I've never found talking to people help me. I actually wrote a song about being dumped. Do you guys want to hear it? Yeah? Okay. I'm kind of jazzed about how much you guys like my sadness. All right. If you guys could help me with a beat, like a... I'm gonna fuck your friends. Thank you. That's it. That's the whole song. Thank you. Aww. Thank you so much. It's only funny because it's true. But I actually have a longer version of that song that I wasn't sure I should do. But you guys want to hear a longer version of that song? Okay. Oh, okay. This one, it's about being dumped and fired on the same day because that happens. Don't worry, it's a club banger. Okay. Here we go. Lost my man and my job, now I'm losing my mind in a good way. But I'ma be just fine, don't have a fucking care in the world tonight. Gonna kick it with a stranger, maybe start a fight. All right, tried blow for the very first time. I'm 38, I could do a line if I want to. Off a deuce deuce, I'm drinking like I'm pregnant, getting drunk for two. Never mind getting drunk, I'm young, I get lit. Move over, baby mama's about to do the splits. Hold on, I'm 40. Let's move it to the bathroom and fuck on the floor. Like I said, I could go all night. I never get tired. I don't gotta wake up tomorrow cause I was fired. I'm 40 in a club on a Tuesday getting high. And I shot a man in Reno cause he tried to take my ride. Don't push me cause I'm fucked out my head. I just drunk dialed my ex-boy friend. Like I said, I'm fine. You never seen a bitch cry and puke at the same time? Thank you. Thanks. You know. Yes. So, you know, Beyonce made lemonade when she was cheated on, and I fucked all his friends. All right. No, but things aren't sad for me now. I've moved on. I have a new love in my life. I have a new boyfriend. Isn't that great? Yeah. And he's like a little younger than me, like not 20s younger. He's like 3 years younger than me. And the other day we're in bed, and he turns to me, and he's like, "Wow, I can't believe you're my elder." Elder, like he went down on me and I tasted like a Werther's original, right? Elder, And then he saw how hurt I was, and he was just like, no, it's just that you look really good for your age. Yeah, right, from someone I love, right? So to make him understand how that felt, when we were making love later, I was like, you're in me so deep for a white man. Yeah. Yes, thank you. This room is majority white, and I don't give a shit. I'll throw all your dicks under that bus. That joke is very unfair, though. He is, in the highest dick percentile of all the men I fucked, right? It's a lot. But, I also feel like, I don't know. When it comes to love, I don't see color, just length and girth. It's important. It's what's inside that counts. But, thank you. No, actually, before him, I did kind of only date black guys before him, and a lot of those guys had dreads. That was like my type. I loved guys with dreads. If you looked like you didn't eat pork or black women out, I was getting in them Wyclef jeans. I loved it, right? But now dating a white guy, I'm getting a perspective on things, on certain inequities that he faces. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but did you guys know that white men are under attack right now? You guys know about this? Yeah, like the only people more persecuted than white men is everybody else, but still, that's a problem. Phil, I do know though how like unfair it is to some people that like I get to punch up at white men, right? And if a white guy were to do the same to me, if he were to punch down on me, he'd be crucified, unless he was a cop. Because then he'd be promoted. I can isolate where the black people are by the claps. No, but it's weird. I've never been comfortable with the expression punching down because it assumes that I'm below somebody just for silly physical attributes that none of us have control over. I'd probably be okay with punching down if it was called uppercutting a Nubian queen, right? That'd be fine with me. Here's the thing. I feel like we all, as a society, need to stop generalizing, no matter what the race is. I actually don't think it helps the conversation. Like, if it's wrong to stereotype black people, it's also wrong to stereotype white people, unless you need it for comedy. But it's fine. There's this one stereotype that I don't agree with. It's this shirt that I've seen all over Toronto, and it says, "Lord, give me the confidence of a mediocre white man." Right, which is hilarious, but I don't really agree with it because mediocre white men don't really scream confidence to me, right? They usually scream about diversity quotas, but if I could have the confidence of anybody, I'd want the confidence of a Toronto cyclist. Yeah, there's no one more confident. They speed, they go against cars on roads that aren't made for them every day, right? And they go to us, they're like, "Hey, you better not hit me or you're gonna be sorry," right? That is confident and wrong, but it's confident. I love that. I actually saw last summer, there was this woman, a cyclist, who was cut off by a car, so she rode up beside it, and then she reached inside the window, turned off the ignition, and when the guy tried to open the door, she kicked it shut, and then she just kept riding down the street like a raccoon with a helmet. It was crazy. It was nuts. So yeah, no one's more confident than a Toronto cyclist, except for maybe a dead Toronto cyclist, but still. They miscalculated. I feel like a lot of people maybe think that I'm defending white men too much because I regularly fuck one. But I should confess, my boyfriend isn't just white. He's exotically white. He owns a lizard. Last summer, he wanted me to experience his culture, so he took me to the cottage. No, don't clap for that. Don't clap for that. The cottage is such a scam. We were there and he was like, "Hey, what do you think?" And it was dark and I couldn't take showers and we were isolated from other people. It felt like clinical depression with a canoe, right? But there was this cool moment where we were on the water and the wind was blowing And every time you heard the wind blow, you'd hear, "Get out." It's fine, though. It was just his mom. It's fine. No, I should stop telling that joke, because his mom is actually really lovely, and she's actually been pressuring us to have kids lately, because it is like every white grandmother's dream to have a baby with a name they can't pronounce. So that's real excited about it. This is my granddaughter, Alopecia. It's Ashley. yeah. The thing that actually makes me think I want kids sometimes is I mentioned earlier I have a niece and nephew, and they're actually both biracial, so half their lives matter to me. the half. But no, I love them very much. But I do get annoyed when like only their white features get complimented and acknowledged. Like people are always complimenting their like cute little green eyes or their wavy brown hair, but no one cares about their little round noses or their innate sense of rhythm, you know? It's weird. I don't know. My boyfriend and I have been talking a lot about kids, but I recently had this epiphany where I realized, like, I'm almost 40, and I don't have any kids right now, and I've never been pregnant, and I feel like if I don't have a baby by now, I'm probably not putting it in the right hole. I don't know. How does it work? What? No idea. I don't know, but other people seem like way too excited at the prospect of us having a baby, right? Like, I've had friends come up to me and they're like, "Oh my God, you guys have to have a baby because you could have the next Barack Obama." Wow, like that's a crazy assumption. Yeah, we could also have the first biracial Hitler. Like that's a possibility, right? And people were doing the same thing with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, right? Like with her pregnancy. They're like, "Oh, I wonder what the baby will look like. Is it gonna have her bronzy skin and his years and years of inbreeding? Wow. Ooh, just Beyonce with a hand in the middle of its forehead. Oh, so cute." I know, adorable. I was very nervous to introduce my boyfriend to my dad at first, because, you know, my dad and I have had different experiences with white people, you know? Also, like, I hate to play favorites, but my dad's my second favorite parent, you know? That's scary. No, and here's a little known fact about my dad. He moved to Ottawa in 1965 from Jamaica, and so he was the first black person to ever move to Ottawa and not leave right away. You know, and he once told me this story about how this white man got in his cab, because he was a cab driver to put himself through school. So this white man got in his cab, slapped him on the back of the head and said, "Speed up, nigger." Yeah. And didn't say it with like a soft A, like they were jamming to hip hop, right? Like said it with a hard ER, like he was from Sudbury. And you know, and the only thing my dad could do is, you know, like he just opened the passenger door and Jazzy Jeffed him out into the white snow, you know, which the guy probably loved because it's white. But, you know, the worst thing a white man's ever done to me personally is eaten me out and then tried to make out with me right afterwards, you know, which, like, I don't think my dad can relate, you know. Yeah, I'm not that sexual a gal, not that sexually adventurous. I was actually told by a friend of mine, there's like a label for what I am. It's demisexual. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that. It just means I'm dead inside. No, it means I can't be attracted to someone unless I know them really well, right? So I don't do one-night stands. I don't watch porn. I'd probably only watch porn if it was all my exes circle jerking to my picture, but the only acceptable porn. But I do have this one fantasy, but it's very boring, but I'll tell it to you guys anyways. In it, I'm married to my boyfriend, and I'm waiting for him to come home, and at midnight, the doorbell rings, and it's the cops. And they're like, "Ma'am, there's been an accident." I'm like, "Oh my God." So I go with them this one time. And you know, I get to the hospital, and the doctor's like, "It's pretty bad. His penis is just charred remains now." And I'm like, "I don't care. I love him." Right, because that's what you say at first. And I walk in the room, and he's covered in bandages and barely recognizable, but I say his name, and he whistles back to me, and because that's how he communicates now. And you know, it's a long road ahead. I have to teach him how to clothe himself, how to feed himself, how to masturbate with his burnt baby carrot of a penis, right? You know, and he can't satisfy me anymore, right? So I just have to get sexual surrogate after sexual, just a different man fucking me every single day, right? You know, but he's in the room too, whistling, you know? You know? So anyways, that's what I fantasize about when he doesn't return a text message. Thank you. That's his least favorite joke. Sometimes that joke gets a little dark. So I like to play a game afterwards to pick it up. You guys wanna play a game? Okay, great. It's two truths and a lie, where I say three things. Two of them will be true, one of them's a lie. You have to guess which one the lie is. Okay, I was captain of my high school swim team. I speak fluent French. I'm clinically depressed. Here's a hint, je suis triste. Oh, depression, oh, none of us win. No, it's fine, it's just situational. I only get sad when I think about the state of the world or being black. Anyways, just hard. But no, I do have a lot of friends who are in therapy, and they always love recommending therapy to me. Like, it's like a true crime podcast where at the end you're like, oh my God, it was the dad all along, right? Like, everybody loves therapy so much. But I'm not, I don't know, I don't know that that would help me. If anything, I might go for social anxiety. I have a lot of social anxiety. Not because I have like a fear of meeting new people. It's more of a fear of meeting people I don't remember having met before, right? Because they never react normally. They're always a maximum amount of offended, right? And I always want to explain to them, like, I actually have a neurological condition where I have a really hard time remembering the names and faces of people I don't give a fuck about, right? Which is terrible. Yeah, no, you know. It's not my fault, you're unremarkable. But I also have this like other complex, and a lot of black women have this, they actually have a clinical name for it. It's, I have a fear of expressing negative emotions publicly, because people tend to interpret that as aggressive and negative when it's coming from a black woman. They think like, oh, you're crazy, and you just want attention, and you're insane, right? And they've actually coined this term, omerosa nervosa, which, it's a real thing. The only cure is not dressing like a pageant queen and tape recording your boss. It's the only way to avoid it. But I don't know. I don't think therapy's for me. I think the only way I've ever been able to deal with my anxiety is with poetry. Can I give you guys a poem about anxiety? My fear is always watching and puts me into shock. An invisible specter on my shoulder, called the anxiety hawk. Its beak nestled by my ear, whispering a mean thought, fanning worry flames with his wings, like the anxiety hawk. Is he falling out of love with me? Did I forget to pay my bills on time? Do I need to worry about these hawk-specific hallucinations? Thank you. Thank you. Yes. My dad calls that poem, "Please Move Out of the Basement." Nice. I don't know. There is a lot to be anxious about, though. Like, I don't know. I have a niece. I'm anxious about the world for women, for girls. Like, my niece is a cute kid, but it's weird, like, how people react to cute little girls. Like, I brought her with me recently to the mall, and this woman sees her, and she's like, oh, my God, she's so beautiful. What's her name? I go, it's Eva. She goes, Eva, when you grow up, you're going to be a little heartbreaker. Right? Which is like a weird thing to say to a little girl, like, oh, you're so beautiful. When you grow up, you're gonna ruin lives, you little bitch. you home wrecker, right? That's crazy. My nephew gets it a little differently. Like, he's 9, and everyone's like, oh, my God, how many girlfriends does he have, right? Which is, like, again, a weird thing to say to a kid. Like, first of all, like, don't put your weird heteronormative bullshit on my nephew. You don't know who he's going to love, right? Stop making assumptions. Yeah, no, I'll take that. Yeah. You know. Also, he's been in, like, a pussy drought for 9 years, so, you know, maybe don't bring it up. Real sensitive. Now, kids remember the things that you say to them. Like, and I know this because, like, I remember the stuff people used to say to me when I was a kid. Like, I remember being in middle school, and this girl came up to me, and she was like, hey, you could be a model if it wasn't for your nose, nose, nose. Yeah, she said it 3 times. And I didn't realize how much it affected me until years later when her twin sister was hit by a bus. I remember thinking, wrong one, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm not religious. It's fine. It's fine. I will say I love living in Canada. I feel a lot less anxious living in Canada. I guess I'm saying that because I don't want to be deported, but I love living here. I was having this conversation the other day with an American friend, but I have to say we were not agreeing on a certain point. Like, I actually think that Donald Trump deserves to be the Republican nominee for president for as long as they'll have him, and I'll explain. I used to work in an office with this guy named Randy, and Randy used to brag about bagging bitches without a condom because he was a good guy. And swell dude, salt of the earth. And this one day, Randy comes into the office looking really dejected. I was like, Randy, what's wrong? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it. I go, Randy, I'm your casual work acquaintance. You can tell me anything. Right? Open your soul. And he's like, well, you know, I think I may have contracted genital warts. And I don't want to say that he deserved to have warts on his penis, but he did. 100%. Right? And that's how I feel about the Republican Party. Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Donald Trump is the genital wart of a nominee that they deserve, right? You know, so yeah, that's kind of why I thought Hillary Clinton would win in 2016, because if anyone knows how to deal with a diseased penis. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that joke is very both sides. Sometimes you gotta do shows in Sudbury. Anyways, before we end tonight, I just want to say that this show was a dream come true for me. Thank you. No. Thank you. Yeah. I've honestly been dreaming of having my very own Crave special ever since I was a little girl in cornrows, playing Double Dutch by the corner 30 days ago. I have to say a huge thanks to Crave and to JFL for letting me do this, because it's insane. Like, it really wouldn't have been possible 70 years ago. Been illegal. Would have been illegal. But I was in awe the other day. I pulled out some money to pay for something, and like, Canada, we have a black woman on our $10 bill, right? Yes. Yes. Unite black people and woke white women everywhere. We have a black woman on our money. Yeah, take that, Harriet Tubman. No, it's crazy. We have Viola Desmond on our money. And when I think about it, like, she got arrested in a theater so that a black woman like me could have a voice in one. And that, to me, is so humbling. You know, she probably wouldn't have done that if she knew how much I was going to talk about dicks, but... Anyways, you guys have been a dream of an audience. Thank you so much. Have a good night. Hey, I'm back. So this is actually a song about the reason that me and my boyfriend broke up. Okay, you guys with me? Okay. Christmas Eve, your parents' kitchen, grabbing a midnight nibble. Your dad said something corny and it made me kind of giggle. His robe is open, his knees need lotion. Caribbean King, wanna get wet swimming in his Billy Ocean. I said, Mr. Thomas, can I get you something to eat? He said, sit on my face without missing a beat. And before I even knew it, I was riding this nigga. I looked down at his face because he looked kind of familiar. He was your dad. And I hope you're not mad. If you are, I don't care. He can get it. He's bad. Yeah, he's a little chubby, but in bed, he's the bomb. I know he makes cute kids. At least he did with your mom. It ain't even cheating, because he's just like you. A little finger in the booty makes him come too. Takes me out... takes me out shopping, spends all of his pension. He ain't old. He's just aged to perfection. Your dad. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I think that's it. thank you all so much. Good night.